can find the GoDocs. Is that okay with the chat?
Sure. For particularly standard vertical VDMOS silicon type devices, some of those curve fits that I mentioned early on will work fairly well. When you get into more complex things like wide bandgap materials and superjunction devices and things with a more advanced structure, it starts to not fit well or at all. Okay. Any questions before we get started? Yeah. All right. So last time we were starting to apply our state plane analysis techniques, and we used this CCM buck converter as an example. And we looked at the behavior really during the diode turn off, what happens immediately following that. Assuming the diode is more or less ideal, save for possibly some capacitance, but that it shuts off instantaneously at zero current, we end up with this resonant circuit where we have a full capacitance, everything coming off the switch node resonating with our power inductor, and then the output voltage biasing that. We looked at this behavior, and near the end of the class, we sketched the state plane for the DCM buck, really for the diode turn off. Transition of this DCM buck. There is another switching action, the FET turn off. And we'll look at that one a little bit later, but that one can also be analyzed on the state plane. So this was our state plane for the DCM buck, and I chose this particular operating point where our conversion ratio was a half. And I did so because it gave me a nice state plane where my resonant circle went from zero to really, in this case, 2m, but m was a half, so to 1 on the m sub c axis. M sub c, again, is normalized by v base is vg, so it means I went up to vg in my resonance. And for my converter operation, that's really where I'd like to get, right? At the end of this transition, I want to turn the high side MOSFET back on. So in order to get zero voltage switching, I need to resonate up to VG. And okay? So I want to turn on that device with zero volts across it. Okay? So I want to, beginning of class today, look at two other state planes where M is not equal to half, one where M is greater, one where M is less than a half. So I'm changing the conversion ratio of the converter, keeping everything else the same, and looking at what happens on the state plane. Okay. So for M is not equal to a half, I'm going to have, looking in the time domain here, my same waveforms, V switch, what else was I plotting? IL and ID. And we'll start in the same manner, switch VG down to zero, and then ending at VG. IL is going to ramp up, ramp back down, and ID is going to be this segment of IL. And then really, again, looking at what happens here during the diode turn off. So, let's see, which one do I have first? M is less than a half. So for M is less than a half, it means my output voltage would be somewhere down here. And somewhere less than half of the input voltage. Really, the behavior of the circuit is going to be fairly similar. We saw here in the time domain, I kind of resonate around that DC bias, an amplitude dictated by my initial conditions. So here again, applying that same analysis, what I'm going to end up with is something that kind of looks like this. And I guess I haven't sketched the same timing. I want to match my previous one. This should still end up here. The number of periods here is dictated by my duty cycle for this period, by my switch timing. So I could be switching, you know, here is where I am turning on M1, but at a different power level, that could be here, that could be here, that could be anywhere. Okay. Sketching out two full periods just so we can see how this resonance progresses if we wait a long time. Then my inductor and my diode are going to, let's see, 1, 2. Similarly, ring out. In this case, though, the peak of my ringing here at the switch node is just 2 times my output voltage. And we'll see why in a moment on the state plane, but I'm not able to achieve ZBS no matter what my switch timing is. No matter where I switch in this, I'm always going to have some hard switching. And as I've sketched it, I'm going to switch at this point and really have full COSS losses, switching the full VG across the C switch. And it's going to look like I had no resonance at all, like I'm just hard switching the converter. Okay. Looking at this, M is less than a half case on the state plane. Now the circle on here, I'll say that this was the circle from my last case. So this will be 1 on the MC axis, or JL. And by making M less than a half, I'm putting M somewhere down here. Oh, gosh. And if we look back at what we did previously for the DCM state plane, so M was the center of my resonance. My initial conditions start me right here at 0. That is going to be the same. All I'm doing is changing the magnitude of them. My initial conditions are still here at 0. M is still my DC point, but now my radius has reduced in length. R. So as I resonate, I'm going to go up to a maximum value of M plus R, and my circle is going to look like this. Nothing about my directionality has changed here. So keeping the same analysis, what I know now is so the M is less than a half case. Cannot achieve ZVS. Because my maximum voltage that I'm going to resonate to, call this again M max, to M plus R, that's an R, and R is equal to M, so M max is equal to 2M, M is less than a half, so this is necessarily less than 1. 1 is what I need for ZVS, right? So this is one of the easiest ones to do. We'll look at some harder cases, but often on this state plane, something we want to analyze is the ZVS condition. So what are the constraints on the geometry of my state plane needed to ensure that I can achieve ZVS in this transition? Right. And in this case, it's really just what we were writing here. In order to achieve ZVS, what I need is my radius going beyond my DC operating point to get me all the way here, all the way to 1, which means that my capacitor voltage has resonated all the way up to VG, and I can turn on that high side device with 0 voltage. So what I need is M plus R greater than or equal to 1. And for M less than 1/2, I don't get that. Okay. Let's look at another case where M is greater than 1/2. We'll again start in the time domain and progress onto the state plane. So my red lines were M less than 1/2. Doing green, M greater than 1/2. So if I do that, I'm changing the conversion ratio. Now my V is somewhere up here. And what this resonant circuit is going to want to do, it's really the exact same thing. It's going to want to resonate out centered around that DC operating point of V and with an amplitude of, however, 0 to V. So it would like to still go up to 2V. If it did, would look something like this. First question is, can that happen? What would prevent that from happening? Body diode of a high side. As soon as I try to get above VG, this body diode will turn on and clamp the voltage. So there's no way I can get that high. So it'll start out, it'll resonate up, and then at this point, M1 body diode will turn on. So let's hop over to the state plane to see what's going to happen with this. It's a little bit easier to analyze here. Okay. So again, this will be 1 on my MC axis. This will be JL. I have the same starting point. What I'm changing is that M is now somewhere greater than 1/2. And so I'm going to begin resonating with my radius R. And as I resonate, that's going to create this larger circle that wants to do something like this. Okay. But as you guys just told me, this is a hard boundary. I cannot take M sub C above 1, because that high side body diode will turn on. It's the same thing as saying I can't take V switch above VG. So at this point, M1 body diode turns on. What's going to happen when the M1 body diode turns on? Well, to the extent that that diode is ideal, it's no different than turning on that high side switch, right? What happens when I turn on that high side switch? Well, I get a ramping up of the inductor current, and it locks the voltage at VG, right? So this voltage locks at VG. My inductor current has kind of come down, and then at this point, I'm going to lock in and I'm going to have a ramping with a slope of VG minus V over L. On my state plane, what that's going to look like is the high side diode is on, so M sub C is clamped at 1, V switch is clamped at VG, and the inductor current is ramping up This is now a linear segment on our state plane. This is the non-resonant section of the converter waveforms sketched on the state plane. It looks like just a constant voltage and a ramping current. This point, if things continue going past this point, my inductor current is changing polarity. And as we've argued here, I'm currently conducting through the M1 high side body diode. So if I try to reverse the polarity of that current, that body diode shuts off, right? Right now it's negative current that's flowing back up through the body diode, but it's ramped down and hit zero. It's trying to force current this way, but the FET is off, the body diode will shut off. And now I'm gonna enter actually a second resonance. So here, M1 body diode shuts off. And I'm gonna have a second resonance in this converter with a new radius, R2, describes same circuit, still same DC operating point, just the initial conditions have changed. Instead of starting with zero voltage, zero current, I'm now starting with VG voltage, zero current. And so I'm going to resonate around M with this same radius, with this radius R2 in a circle here to the extent that I can draw one. Okay. My time domain, what that looks like, I clamp at VG. Current ramps down. Once it hits zero, I then begin resonating here. And diode current, no, I shouldn't have even drawn this. So I'm separating out that capacitor C switch. Should just be out. So here, there won't be any after this point. Does that make sense? People will follow that. Yeah.
What's the bottom
waveform? ID, the diode current. And I had mistakenly put in that resonance on there, but since I pulled that capacitor out and I'm treating that as not part of the diode current, it shouldn't be part of that. Once I hit this point, you're saying after this, so then this resonance starts and it's going to resonate equally positive and negative. So initially after this, the inductor current is going to go positive, but this is no longer going through the diode. The diode was the thing that couldn't go positive, right? So the diode shuts off, and now it's back to resonating LC. But during all of this time, that high side body diode being on is protecting the cap. There's no current in the cap. You can tell that because this is completely vertical. The voltage isn't changing at all. So it's actually not resonant during this whole time. All right, so from there, looked at some different cases on this DCM buck. There's more we could do here, but I think it's a little more interesting to move on to a synchronous buck converter, which is going to operate largely the same, but the advantage of the synchronous buck is going to be that we're not constrained to diode switching. We don't have to shut off at zero current. We can allow bidirectional current through both switches, control our starting point for these resonances, okay? So I'm going to first sketch kind of the waveforms in a specific operating mode that we would like to achieve with this converter. Depending on switch timing, there's a lot of different ways that this can operate, and we'll look at some of those. But for our synchronous buck converter, I have my two dead times here. And I'm going to again look at the switch IL and I, see here, short these two together, and I'm going to look at the current here, IDS. I'm going to plot the negative of it just because I don't have any space down here. Okay. So our normal operating modes are DTS and our D prime TS are going to be the same. We'll have during this time, the switch node is VG. During this time, it's zero. IL is going to ramp up during this time. And IDS is going to conduct during the next interval. What we're really going to be interested in with the state plane analysis is what's happening during these dead times. Okay. So this first switching action, it's really the same as in the DTM buck, but we didn't look at it. We focused mostly on the diode turn off. But this is still a resonant transition. What happens here, I have, this is M1, this is M2. I have M1 conducting initially. I shut it off, and then sometime later I turn M2 on. When I shut it off, my inductor current IL is flowing out of this node. I'm going to again lump kind of all of my capacitances into a single element here, C switch. And so when I turn M1 off, the C switch has a full VG across it. And after I get M1 off, the current's flowing out. That's going to tend to decrease the voltage on that capacitance. And it's going to give me a resonant transition where I can hopefully go down and achieve a soft switching turn on of M2 resonating between inductor current and capacitor voltage. We'll look at on the state plane, how do we actually get that? Then after that, M2 will turn on. I'll have my normal ramping down. And the waveforms I'm going to plot are going to allow this current to go slightly negative, because this is my main distinction from the DCM diode buck, because I couldn't do this, right? It was just the diode down here. When this current hits zero, that diode shuts off. But when it's a FET, FET's current bidirectional, I can allow it to go negative. There's going to be some advantages to doing that. So look at allowing that to go down to some negative current, I naught. Then after we shut this FET off, we're going to get another resonant transition. If I do my job in designing this thing, that'll be a nice zero voltage switching transition. Resonate back up to VG. This current will come back to zero, and that'll be the end of my period. So I've drawn this thing a little bit shifted. I started at zero current, but this little segment here is actually part of the M1 on period. So this is one complete period. I just don't align it with the switching action. So I'm back to M1 on. Okay. Look at the diode current. Not much of anything interesting here. It's going to track the inductor current. This isn't really just the diode current. It's the combination of the diode and low side FET now. And if I pull that capacitance out, it has nothing going on during the dead times. For significant portions of this now, at least during all of this time, I may not really care whether it's the diode, say this is D2, or the FET, M2 conducting. During this, it could be either of them. Right after my switching action, definitely the diode will turn on, and I've got some time buffer. I might let the diode conduct here, give myself some time, and then turn on M2 later. Okay. It's really only this section of the current that requires that this be a MOSFET conducting. So as long as I get M2 on somewhere in here, these waveforms will work. Generally, my preference is probably to conduct through M2 instead of the diodes. Unless I'm at extremely high current, my conduction losses through the R-on of the FET are usually lower than that through the VF of the diode. So I'd like to get it on as quickly as possible. So ideally, exactly at this point, I time my gate drives perfect so that exactly at the instant that I resonate down and have zero voltage across that device, I turn it on. And I have no diode conduction at all. If these are body diodes, I don't have to worry about any sort of charge storage in them. Practically, that's a difficult thing to do, timing it exactly perfectly. And that exact perfect timing changes with operating point and sensitive to temperature changes and noise and anything that affects your capacitance. But we can always try. So we'll try to time it all perfectly. Okay. So to analyze this, we can again reduce this to our equivalent resonant circuit during the dead time. During my two switching times, what I have is effectively my C switch. L, and then my output voltage. I'm going to again have my VC, my IL that I'm going to normalize on the state plane. The C switch is now the combination of many different things. It's drain to source capacitance of both my MOSFETs in parallel with any winding capacitance on the inductor. If I have separate diodes, it's in parallel with the diode's capacitances. If I lay this out on a real circuit, it's in parallel with any parasitic capacitance between really the switch node and any other DC plane. But we're going to lump all those together into just this one element since they're all in parallel. Okay. An animation on that, yes. So I'll first look at the transition that we've seen before. So I'm going to look at what was our diode turn off, but is now our MOSFET turn off. And I'll look at that transition on the state plane. So in order to do so, I'll take my circuit here. And I need to look at my initial conditions in my DC solution. So my DC solution here is going to be no different, right? Solution is going to be that VC is equal to V. IL is equal to zero. It's my only steady state operating condition that will result in my states being constant. And then for my initial conditions, I'm looking at the M2 turn off transition. That VC at time zero is equal to, I'm looking right here, it's zero. IL at time zero is this minus I naught. Okay. Can do the initial conditions on the first derivative to get the direction. It's going to be no same than we, or the same, no different than what we've done on the last three state planes. Things going counterclockwise. When I look at my state plane, got some guides for me since my drawing isn't great. My center for this radius is going to be at the point VC is V, IL is 0. I'll keep my same normalization. V base is VG. I base is VG over R naught. Then my normalized DC solution is going to be M, which would be V normalized, V over VG, my conversion ratio M. And my normalized initial condition, I'm going to call this minus J naught. J naught is I naught over I base. Okay. So the difference between this sync buck and what we were looking at in the diode buck. The diode buck, our initial condition was right here. Right? We had to be at 0, 0 because it was a diode. But now we've allowed ourselves to ramp down and become a little bit negative. So I now have a radius R for this transition. This looks like this. And I'm going to, at that radius, resonate around. And I'm going to go as far as 1 on this axis. Again, 1 is the point where if I don't turn the FET on, my high side body diode will turn on. So this is resonating up to the point where either the body diode turns on, or if I'm good, if I'm lucky, like I was saying earlier, I turn on the gate to source and turn on M1 itself, and it takes over. And this would be the end of my transition. Okay. So what advantage have I gained from any of this? So let's look at solving the state plane now for the ZVS condition in this synchronous buck. And this is again specific to the M2 turn off transitions. Okay. My VVS condition, in order to turn on M1 with zero voltage switching, I need this resonance to carry me all the way up to M sub C is equal to 1, same as before. The maximum voltage that M sub C is going to go in this resonance is M plus R, right? This is my center. I can go as high as M plus R, theoretically. If M plus R is out here, I'll be clamped by the body diode, but I know I can get ZVS. So what I really need is for M plus R to be greater than or equal to 1. What that's saying is if I allow this thing to resonate all the way up to its peak voltage, that peak voltage is equal to or higher than the voltage I need for ZVS. Is that making sense? Any questions on that? I see a lot of squinting. The screen's out of focus, or there's something that's not clear. Okay, well, so let's plug in for this expression. What is this? R, my radius here, I can write as a Pythagorean theorem, it's M squared plus J naught squared, right? Is that hypotenuse. So this becomes M squared plus J naught squared greater than or equal to 1. Okay. So we'll simplify in a moment, but one thing I can see right here, for the DCM buck, I needed M greater than 1/2, right? For the synchronous buck, if I go down to M is equal to 0, I can still satisfy this equation, right? Just make J not really big. I'm going to have to ramp down to a very negative current. That's essentially saying on my state plane, even if I took my conversion ratio way down here, I can put J not way down here, but this radius swung me up there. All right. So I can get ZVS for any voltage conversion ratio. My penalty is just going to be I need the current to go very negative to get it. Okay. I can get ZVS regardless of what my conversion ratio is if J naught is, but well, in the extreme case, J naught is 1 or larger, right? J naught is 1, it doesn't matter what M is, that's going to be satisfied. And if J naught goes to 0, if my initial bias on that inductor current is 0, I'm back to the DCM buck case, right? I get M plus root M squared, 2 M's greater than 1, or M's greater than 1/2. Same thing we had before. Okay. So this expression itself, I want to plug in and denormalize these terms to look at what it's telling us. Very simple to read off the state plane, but the physical insight from it, we might want to go back into our denormalized terms to see. So if I plug in M is V over VG plus the square root of M squared plus J naught, which is I naught R naught over VG squared greater than or equal to 1. I'm going to multiply through by VG. That will give me V plus root. I'll multiply everything in here by VG, getting it under the radical. I'm multiplying everything in there by VG squared. So that gives me V squared plus I naught R naught squared greater than or equal to VG. I'm going to subtract the V over to the right side and square both sides. That'll give me V squared plus I naught R naught squared greater than or equal to VG minus V squared. And then last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to plug in this R naught, which is root L by C, going to get squared. So I'll have V squared plus I naught squared L by C greater than or equal to G minus V squared. And if I do some manipulating here, I'll multiply everything by C and then move this term over. I'm going to get L I naught squared greater than or equal to C VG minus V squared minus CV squared. So what is this expression telling me? Greater than, really, the energy I need to add to the capacitor to get ZVS, minus the DC energy that it's going to get no matter what, tell me I need to build up enough energy in this inductor to move that capacitor all the way up to VG. Okay. So physically, this condition makes sense, right? It's just energy balance. This resonance is going to go from centered around the DC solution. All of my ringing energy is going to go from the inductor to the capacitor and back. In the process of that energy transfer, I need to make it up high enough to get VVS. Okay. Time. One last thing here. So looking at this same transition, still the M2 turn off. Here, I have achieved VVS. If I turn on M1, I move on to the next subinterval. So I've reached here. As long as I turn M1 back on, I start my next period. I just want to look at what happens if I never turn M1 back on. If I just shut off M2 right here and then let this thing play out, just let it ring out passively. So this is still my M2 turn off. So this is my guides. So I'm going to start at the same point. Got my same center. And I'm going to begin resonance in the same way. Go around until I hit M sub C is equal to 1. At this point, my M1 body diode turns on. I'm doing nothing with the FET, but that body diode is going to clamp the voltage at a maximum of VG. At which point, a lot like we saw on the DCM buck, I'm going to get this discharge of inductor current through the high side body diode. And that's going to continue until the current tries the reverse polarity, when the M1 body diode will shut off. So I had my original radius R. That diode shuts off, I'm going to begin a new resonance, a new radius, R2. Resonance is going to cause me to ring around and cause the voltage to reduce back down to 0. Once the switch node voltage reduces down to 0, I'm clamped on the other side, right? I couldn't go. On my switch node voltage, I couldn't go above VG because of this body diode. And I can't go below 0 because of this one. So when I hit, when I hit a voltage of 0, now M2's body diode will turn on. It's going to cause the inductor current to discharge through the low side body diode down to 0. Once the inductor current hits 0 again, that diode is going to passively turn off. At this point, I'm going to begin yet a third resonance with a new radius, R3. And this is finally my one that is completely contained within my bounds of my two body diodes. And this one is just going to continue ringing out. I'm going to have three separate resonances. In each case, for the first two, the amplitude of that resonant voltage was larger than the clamping limits of my two body diodes. So it turned them on, and I discharged enough energy out of that ringing to have it resume within those bounds. So here, discharge enough energy by ramping down the inductor current so that I can begin a new resonant waveform where the voltage is less than VG, but I get clamped again because the voltage wants to go negative. Both of these are just reducing the amplitude of the voltage ring till I get to something completely contained within that clamping. And whether or not both of these can happen and what the waveforms look like depend on where M is. If I was much higher up here, then my second resonance, like we saw in a DCM, could occur and I wouldn't get this low side body diode turn on. If I was much lower, I might not get any of it, but I just couldn't obtain ZVS. Okay. More. This is likely not something we would want to do with this converter, just shutting off and letting it ring back and forth between these different body diode conductions. The reason I show it here is to give you some insight on working with these state planes, what it looks like when different passive switching actions, how it alters resonances. But in reality, what we'd like to do is not allow any of these body diodes to conduct, have this nice resonance up to obtain ZVS. At that point, we turn on the high side, leave it on, ramp the inductor current to here, then turn off the high side, have another ZVS transition, and just repeat. Okay. So we'll pick up there next class. This is just the M2 turn off portion of the state plane. We'll complete this to have the entire period plotted on the state plane, and then analyze that in our state plane analysis to solve things like output power, like VVS condition of the other transition. So we'll pick up there on Monday. Remember that if you haven't turned it in today, you have a design problem due on Monday. See everybody then.
What did you guys do?